C1AP, number 23B.
So, she goes on and shows now how to calculate. The next paragraph, line 12, this spiritual holy habitation, so she still speaks of the holy city, has no boundary nor limit. Though it seems the symbol has boundaries, namely the four sides, seems to have boundaries. She naturally wants to say, no, actually they have no boundaries spiritually. But its four cardinal points are, and now she depicts that city four square no more as four sides, but as cardinal points, as cardinal points. Therefore, the side note is no more the city four square, but the city of our God. Now alone these two expressions show us the difference between divine signs and absolute Christian signs, because what is divine signs? In divine signs, the level of consciousness always is on the point of oneness. Divine signs is always oneness, where principle and idea is one, where creator and creation is one. What is the level of absolute Christian signs? The level of absolute Christian signs is there where we ask, how does that principle express itself as individual computation, as individual ideas? How does mathematics as such calculate in order to help us to calculate an individual problem? So it is showing us how it demonstrates itself to us and for our problem. So it is our God. It's no more just God. It is seen how it translates God to us, so that God is our God. In this little term, our, we can see the relationship of principle to man. So, in order to bring out that computation to demonstrate man, she depicts now the city four square, no more as four sides, but as four cardinal points. That's very, very clever, the way she puts that, because that's not what the Revelator can show. The Revelator has no ways and means of really showing that you have to calculate according to cardinal points. What does the cardinal points mean? You know, in a compass, you have four cardinal points. You have a north and an east and a south and a west. Well, this is okay, but that was already shown in the city four square, that she had in the north the polar magnet of Revelation, in the east, and then in the south, and in the west. So in the city of God, on the city four square, we have four: the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, the north, east, south, and west. But now she points out that these are cardinal points. And you know how a compass has those four cardinal points, but that is not all of it. They are only there in order that we can define any direction. So if you have, I must now show it from your side, if you have the north, this is the east from you, north and east, you have only north and east. But if you calculate with them, you can have here in the middle, you can have northeast. You call that middle direction already northeast. You begin to calculate with two, and you have northeast. If you have here northeast and here north, and you want to show something in between here, you have north, northeast, east. You always add one more. So that every degree, I guess those who have to do with the compass on the boat and on the airplanes, they know that very well, that you can calculate any degree through just those four. Huh? You only have always four, but you calculate with those four. Now, Mrs. Eddy has taken that symbol of the cardinal points of the compass and has used it in order to show that the four are not the four, that the four are here fundamentally to calculate all the directions. Huh? All the directions. Just as we have... No, that's not very good what I want to say with mathematics or so. And Stauschi shows that combination. Huh? What are the four sides of the city in divine science? Life, truth, love, principle, love. Now, she says, but life can also be combined with truth and can be combined with love. And you get a specific calculation. Therefore, the moment you calculate with life, truth, and love, you have life, truth, and love in absolute Christian science. If you calculate differently and you take truth, life, and love, you have the Christ in absolute Christian science. If you take the first and the last, life and love, you have Christianity in absolute Christian science. Can you see? Or if you take truth and love, you have... just a moment. Well, again, if you calculate with truth and love, you get truth and love in absolute Christian science of science. So can you see, in absolute Christian science, you calculate with the synonymous term, and according to how we calculate very definitely, we get very definite results, demonstration. So this is what Mrs. Eddy does here, and which the Revelator didn't do. Can I say, Mrs. Eddy begins now to elaborate on her mission, the prophecy of her mission, and elaborates it, just as Dolly would then elaborate more and more on Mrs. Eddy's presentation. So she says, first, cardinal point is the word of life, truth, and love. Then, second, she says, the Christ, we come to the Christ. She doesn't say there, what is here on the chart, truth, life, and love. She doesn't say it anymore. She just had indicated with the word that you begin to calculate with the three synonymous terms. So here, the second is the Christ, the spiritual idea of God. Then third, Christianity, which then is the outcome of the Christ idea, of the divine principle of the Christ idea in Christian history. And fourth, Christian science, which today and forever interprets the great example and the great exemplar. So Mrs. Eddy herself only showed one calculation with the synonymous term when she defined the word. But naturally, the Christ and Christianity must also be defined through the synonymous term, because you can't define anything except through the seven synonymous terms. There's nothing else to be defined except through the seven and the four. But she left that again. See, we are on the second last page, so to say. She left that again somehow to be elaborated by the student. She knew very well that she couldn't write a textbook that would say everything. She had to give a textbook that would just indicate the principle of everything and the method of everything, and said, I leave it to the embellishment and elaboration of the student to elaborate on it. That's what John Dolly then has done, that he said, now, what is the Christ? What is the spiritual idea, which Mrs. Eddy says, the Christ, the spiritual idea of God, and could see that whenever in the textbook Mrs. Eddy uses the combination of truth, life, and love, that she was bringing out the Christ idea. And that every time when the textbook wanted to bring out Christianity, that Mrs. Eddy would use life and love. And in all those many cases where she wanted to bring out the science of it, namely that the facts of being, truth, are already at the point of perfection and fulfillment, love, that would be brought out through the two synonymous terms, truth and love. So, He goes on and says, this city of our God, see, it's now the city of our God, because we begin to calculate in order to define our demonstrations, has no need of sun or satellite, for love is the light of it, and the divine mind is its own interpreter. Actually, what she does here, you can make a note, she interprets here Revelation 21, verse 23. She goes now further than the verse 22, because in 23 the Revelator said, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's why she said here that that city really has no need for sun or satellite, for love is the light of it. We are still in the tone of truth and love, for love is the light of it, and the divine mind is its interpreter. Then she goes on interpreting verse 24, which in Revelation states, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Can you see the demonstration? And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. It is as if she would have said that man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. That's what we demonstrate in Absolute Christian Science. We don't demonstrate that man has power and dominion over sin, sickness, and death. That's on the level of Christian Science. There we demonstrate that. But here, what the fact is that man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. They walk in the light. They are not walk in the darkness and wait for the light to shine into the darkness. Can you hear what the demonstration here is? It's a demonstration of absolute values, that we demonstrate the absolute value of the nations or of men, of Christianity, which says man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. That's why Mrs. Edison says, mighty potentates and dynasties will lay down their honors within the heavenly city. And then it goes on and comes to Revelation 21, 26 and 7, where the Revelator says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Can you hear the tone of Absolute Christian Science? Into that city cannot enter anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's of Book of Life. Can you see, man is demonstrated there as that which cannot defile, as that which cannot work abomination, as that which cannot make a lie. He's defined there as that, as being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes? I don't know if you like it. I like it. Isn't it terrific to show? Can you see that it's very different from the ascending way? The ascending way is the most important way. It's the way of understanding. It's that way which people don't like to go, because it's hard. You have to learn. You have to study. You have to work for it. But you have to go that way, uphill all the way, until one touches that consciousness of the oneness of being, of divine science. Then that consciousness says, this consciousness translates itself. It demonstrates itself. It demonstrates itself by showing that it comes right down to be what? In divine science, to be the joy of the whole earth. What was that rendering? That it is beautiful for situation, that it is the joy of the whole earth. it begins to demonstrate itself on the level of science itself by showing, I give you a revelation word. I show you the Christ that leads on and on and on. I give you a new Christianity which binds all society to one solemn union. I give you science which really brings you to the day of rest and of peace and harmony. Okay, that's fine. And you stay in that consciousness. You stay in that consciousness of divine science, that there is only one life as the world, that there is only one Christ as truth, that there is only one Christianity, that of love, that there is only one science or ever at work, the divine principle of love. What is that going to do further? It translates itself right down to the level of absolute Christian science, where it begins to demonstrate what? And it begins to demonstrate the idea of man as a spiritually compound individual consciousness. Not as a human, not as a mortal, not as a body. There is no body in that city, no temple therein. And all what happens is that we can see that these mighty synonymous terms translate themselves to the point of ideas, bringing out the true idea man. What is that true idea man? How can I demonstrate that true idea man? And she said, you can calculate it over and over through the cardinal points. You can calculate it as the word which says, I am life, truth and love. I am the eternal impulsion of life that brings out always the true idea, truth in its perfection, love. You can calculate that as the true Christ. And you begin to calculate and say that that one truth is the truth of all situations, the truth of all truths, and therefore is the truth of life, of individuality, of each individual situation, truth, life. And that individual situation is absolutely adapted to the need of what you need, because it's love. And see that Christ. Sorry, I was over here. Huh? Or you can see that it translates itself as Christianity and says, I'm life and truth. Therefore, I eternalize every idea. Eternalize every idea so that life is eternal. But I eternalize every idea so that love takes care of it, that love protects it, that love conserves it, that love preserves it, that love takes it, welcomes it and bosoms it and embraces it, so that nothing can touch anymore that eternal idea, that nothing can flow inward. And now we have come to truth and love, where she shows really that there is, that I saw no temple therein, that it is an incorporeal concept of truth held in love. How? That she shows it is man is the idea of truth held in love, which means man is an individual compound consciousness which, as love, is constantly operating within that plane of love as city of our God. So love is that which says nothing can enter that defiles or makes alive. Love says that man is that idea which cannot be defiled. There is nothing which defiles us or makes us alive. Man is actually that consciousness which says, I cannot get sick, I cannot sin, I cannot defile, I cannot lie, I cannot die, I cannot do anything that is evil. That's man. How did I say before, 10 minutes ago, man is incapable, man is incapable of sin, sickness and death. And love is that which keeps, which protects that truth of being incapable of sin, sickness, and death. And so she ends here absolute Christian science, and then we really would come to the level down to Christian science, and there again Mrs. Eddy doesn't find the real answer in Revelation, and again takes refuge to Psalms. Because now we come to Christian Science, where Mrs. Eddy says on page 577, 28, the writer's present feeble sense of Christian Science. She says, I have a feeble sense of Christian Science. Can you see that she expected that later on we would have a stronger sense of Christian Science? She says, I haven't seen everything. I haven't understood everything what is in that textbook. And she was a good student of her textbook. Closes with St. John's revelation as recorded by the great apostle, for his vision is the acme of this science as the Bible reveals it. I've said, as John Dolly pointed out, that the city foursquare is not the acme of the science as the textbook reveals it, because the acme of science will be science itself, and not divine science, but science itself. That would be the highest point. So she says, in the following psalm, one word shows, though faintly, the light which Christian Science throws on the scriptures. Now she shows how the light is shown on the scripture by substituting for the corporeal sense the incorporeal or spiritual sense of deity. You hear at once that she translates it down to the level of Christian Science, because the level of Christian Science is where in place of the corporeal sense, the incorporeal sense is put. Can you say put is stated? Huh? Where you exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul, this is what happens on the level of Christian Science, and then gives the 23rd Psalm. And that 23rd Psalm, which you know, there is nothing really very new about it that we can interpret, except one thing that I want to draw your attention to is that she puts that whole psalm into the place value of love on the level of Christian Science. Every time she substitutes the term God or Lord and puts at that place divine love or love, every time. And the second point is that here, for the only time as far as I remember in the textbook, she writes that term love all in capital letters. Not only capitalized, but all in capital letters, as you see. As if she would put an enormous weight on that point, that actually Christian Science, the pinnacle of Christian Science, is love. And so she comes right back to love and shows that love is really that which takes care of the human, as in the 23rd Psalms. And that 23rd Psalms, you know very well, it runs through the seven synonymous term. You have that in the epitomes, so we don't need to discuss that there at length. But what I want to show really is this, that you can see now that all through her explanation of Revelation, she takes into the apocalypse only that which has to do with her mission as science. If you look again to that page 15 on the blue paper, then you see really that she pinpoints her mission. And in the introduction, she takes out of that whole big revelation the point of science first. That she takes that which says, you shall read it, and you shall write in the book, and you shall read it and understand it. What? Then comes truth in the first vision, in the second vision, truth, in the third vision, truth, And then she lifts it in the fourth vision to love. That's the main tone. And then we have love, and we have love as the Gabriel and not as the Michael. Then you can jump right into the holy city, because love is that which is the ever presence of ministering love that knows no evil. So it can leave out the whole fifth vision of the seven vials full of the last plagues and can jump right into the new heaven and to the new earth where there is no more sea. So you come in the sixth vision to signs as truth and love, then to divine signs as principal love, and translate it right down again to the level of absolute Christian science, to truth and love, where there is no temple therein. And then she takes out of Psalms, the 23rd Psalms, and puts it right on the level of love alone. So can you see, never does she drop the level below truth and love. That is her mission. Okay. So tomorrow we will have time to see what that whole revelation means in terms of today.